This is Iron Mike Stedman, and as always, I want to thank you for tuning into our show, the legendary Dog Whistle Brandon. In this episode of DWB, Drew and I chop it up with fellow Marine turned video storyteller, Sean Bell, founder of Loud Media, which helps brands tell epic stories through video content. I met Sean while working from Drew's office one day and knew we had to get him on the show. He's done video content for major brands like Nike, as well as small businesses and nonprofits throughout the New Jersey area. On the show, Sean shares how he thinks about storytelling, why he's so passionate about video, and a couple pointers for those of you looking to integrate video into your marketing and branding efforts. Before we jump into the show, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter at the link in the show notes. If there's a topic you'd like Drew and I to cover, either on the show or in the newsletter, feel free to shoot me an email at mike@weareironbound.com. All right. Enough of me talking. Gunny, get them ready.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
You're listening to Dog Whistle Branding, brought to you by the team at Ironbound Media and Mission Plus, where together, we're building the next generation of confident, resilient, and badass entrepreneurs and brands to keep you in the fight and not face down in a rice paddy. I'm your host, Iron Mike Stedman, the godfather of Dog Whistle Branding and founder of Ironbound Media. Before we jump into the show, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter at the link in the show notes or visit our website, dogwhistlebranding.com, to stay up to date on all things DWB. All right, get out your pen and paper and get ready to build a dog whistle brand. Saddle up, lock and load. Sean and Drew, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, happy to be
here. Welcome.
I want everybody to give Drew a round of applause. He finally got a microphone. So I know his audio has been interesting the last few drops, but we're proud of you for growing up and stepping up your game.
Well, I appreciate it. It was the best $50 I ever spent.
Joining us today, my man Sean Bell. I actually met Sean through Drew because I was hanging out at Drew's office probably about a month ago, and we're working on my rebrand. And then Drew introduced me to you because you're a fellow Marine, and he was working on your rebrand. And then as soon as I found out what you were doing, I was like, man, we got to get him on the podcast. So, Sean, it's a pleasure having you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I actually had heard about you through Brett and Alexa D'Alessandro. They do Backpacks for Life, but they told me you were an officer for the Marines, so I was like, I don't want to mess with them.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with you and the Loud Media, go ahead and just give them a brief overview.
Yeah, so Loud Media, we just actually went through a rebrand. We started right out of the pandemic, which was kind of like, honestly, the pandemic for us was like a really kind of a blessing. It pulled me out of doing the everyday work hustle and commuting to the city all the time to kind of doing something I always wanted to do, which is improve video production. I being on set and stuff, I had just seen so many mistakes being made by producers that I was like, I could probably do this better than them. So, you know, we took all of our knowledge and we put it behind our company. So with this rebrand that was help, you know, Drew assist me with Loud Media, you know, I'm really going after like, you know, outrageous brands and, you know, sports and athletics. My goal is to help people forge their legacies, you know, through digital content and telling their stories so that they're remembered by everybody and to help them build communities around themselves and what they do. Sorry, I just stuttered so hard through that.
Yeah, but you forgot to tell them the real name of the company.
Oh, the real name of the company. Well, we're gonna slowly dip our toes into it, but eventually we're going to be Loud as Fuck Media.
Let's talk about this. I want to talk about this for a moment, all right? Me and Drew are scrappy, right? I'm a boxer. Drew's a Jersey guy. You know, he wears his fitted hats and his New Jersey Jets jerseys and whatnot. And he's a little aggressive with his branding, and I like it. But as we are all trying to punch above our weight, and I consider all three of us on here, do you guys think that that type of messaging, you know, the Loud as Fuck or We Unfuck Your Brand and all that kind of stuff will attract or deter the type of clientele that we want?
Honestly, at the end of the day, if you're doing like a Nike commercial or something like that, it's not like they're putting your company's name on it. So, I mean, it really depends. I think that if you're really standing behind what you're calling yourself and you're making, you know, videos and media that's loud as fuck, or you're making branding that is cool as shit, then I think that that it's going to work and it's going to attract the audience that you want.
What do you think?
Yeah, you know what, Mike, we spoke about this a little bit earlier today. I take back what I said. Fuck that, dude. Because at the end of the day, whether the client has $50K, $100K, or $1,000, like Sean said, our name, you know, Make Cool Shit, Ironbound, Loud, it's not going to be on the piece of content, on the video, whatever. They're coming to us for a curated piece. They're going to Sean for the video that they want. They're coming to us to build their brand, Mike. So the clients that we're looking for, Mike, that are 50K and above, they might just feel even more inclined to join with us because guess what, man? Everyone's website looks the fucking same. Like, everyone's saying the same thing. Everyone's wearing khakis, wearing blue blazers, and walking around here with the same sales pitch, right? So is it aggressive? Yeah. Is it a little bit non-conformative? Sure. But, you know, let's just lean into being authentic and not giving a shit what anyone else thinks.
No, I agree. And I think that's the whole point behind this kind of Dog Whistle Brandon podcast. We're trying to attract the right type of customers. So if that offends you, you know, you might not even be the type of person for us.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, just to tag off of what Drew's saying, like, you know, I feel the same exact way. There's so many people who show up to the like networking events and they're just wearing khakis and blazers. I show up wearing Hawaiian shirts and I'm screaming at people, you know. And you know, people are always coming up to me to say hello at networking events. I'm not saying I'm famous or anything, but like, you know, they know that I'm down to earth, they know that I'm cool, and it makes me stand out, I think.
And I love it. And it's authentically you, because every time I've met you, we've jumped on like 3 or 4 times already. You've always had a dope shirt on. And it was the first thing I called out.
Yeah.
Before we hop into, we're going to get into storytelling, but there's something that's, I think, relevant to a lot of our listeners. And it's the AI generated videos that are about to come out from ChatGPT and OpenAI. And I was with Drew at All-Star Weekend when they announced it. He sent it to me. And Sean, I'm just curious to hear your kind of perspective on, you know, artificial intelligence when it comes to content creation.
Yeah, I mean, I'll preface with I don't really know a whole ton about it. I follow a couple AI guys on LinkedIn and stuff, and I actually recently somebody posted an AI-generated video, but it was just kind of like a big, wide, like drone shot looking thing out of, I don't know, it might have been like a made-up town like that looked like it was overlooking the Mediterranean. And it was really pretty. I liked it, but I don't think AI is going to really be able to, at least yet, is going to really be able to capture like the emotion of like storytelling stuff. You know, that stuff is what's going to come from the heart. You know, you're not going to be able to get blood, sweat, and tears across through AI yet, at least.
Drew, what about you?
Well, we kind of spoke about it at the coffee shop in Indianapolis, right? So I think it's called Sona off the top of my head, or Sonia from OpenAI. But the video aspect is going to get so good, but there's two ways to look at it, right? Even as a graphic designer, right? The 2D stuff is already there. So it's like, am I going to panic? And am I going to just stop doing my job because there's a computer that can make some graphics? No, I actually love AI. It's making my life easier. It's making my life faster. I just created a graphic for a client, Andrew. Shout out to Andrew from Player Coach if he's on here, where he gave me a couple of comps that he liked, and I spit it into DALL-E 3, which is on ChatGPT. And I said, give me some concepts, right? I didn't build my brand off of it. I just took what he was saying and then made my life easier. That concepting phase might have taken half an hour. I'm sorry, might have taken a couple hours. Mike, a couple weeks ago, we were talking to Dan Jansen from Lincoln. He was saying the same thing. You know, creating a poster now for a client, you know, if a client wanted a fucking guy, you know, on a unicorn swinging a lightsaber, you know, that would be a month illustration, right? Now it takes 20 seconds. To your point, Sean, of storytelling, AI makes the playing field level. So if you're not a creative person, or if you're not going to be caring about a story or caring about the messaging or caring about the strategy, then everything's just going to start to look the same, right? My last note on this is you could tell now with ChatGPT, with the writing and the copy, you could tell whose website was spun up with it in 2 seconds, right? Everybody's content looks the same now. Everybody is becoming ordinary, right? So it's like, okay, who's going to care enough about the storytelling? And we know that Sean will, and we know that Loud Media will be. But at the end of the day, if you're not caring about the business end of it, listen, anybody can make a pretty picture. Anybody can make a dope logo. Anybody can put together a video with their iPhone, right? That's just the reality that we live in. But how can we service our clients and how can we help them tell their story through the collective services?
Yeah. I got to give a shout out to Drew because Drew was leaning the AI way, like right out the gate. And I was a little bit hesitant, but now I use it for a lot of stuff, right? And you're 100% because, you know, I always think of creative stuff like creative work, like walking into a tattoo parlor. You got this great idea for a tattoo. And you know, Marines, Sean, they're like, I want my infantry unit and then my grandma. And then, you know, this Marine I serve with and this color. And the tattoo artist is like, how about you come back for like 30 minutes, right? We have a conversation. I'll show you a couple sketches and then we go from there. And I think that's how we can start leveraging technology. So didn't mean to throw us off on a tangent, but it was top of my mind with regards to video. But video through storytelling, man, I'm curious to learn how you approach it, how you advise clients, because one of the things I definitely think is taking place now, and you could tell if I'm wrong, is like a content overload, you know, because of the Gary V's of the world. They're like, we're not going to make, you know, just a few dope videos and some storytelling. We're going to like throw 100 videos a day at you, you know, on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. You've got all these creators out here creating content. But I still think there's a space, like you said, for that powerful story-driven video content. And I'm curious to learn how you approach it.
I approach it in like the most primal way, like as far as like just classically. Like I've studied like Joseph Campbell, who's like the guy who wrote The Hero with a Thousand Faces. He basically like studied, you know, legends and myths and everything and just kind of found that there was like a key way of storytelling that people love. I mean, I always use Star Wars as like an example, like the original Star Wars movie, because that is like a prime example of the hero's journey. You know, it starts off like you get hooked and you see the world as it is when you see the Empire kind of attacking. And then you meet your hero who's kind of settled into his world as a farmer. And he goes through this whole journey that was like kicked off by, you know, his mentor. So I kind of, when I'm doing brand stories, like, and just using that format to be able to tell people stories. So I have like a list of questions that I show up with. And depending on how we want to make that video, either I have them answer those questions beforehand and we'll script something out. Or a lot of people, you know, not everybody's an actor. So like, and they can't remember lines. So a lot of people choose to just kind of do more of a interview format. And it's not like a 60 minutes interview. It's not like you're just answering the question once. And then we move on, you know, we sit there and we work on it together. So sometimes interviews, you know, they can be as quick as 15 minutes long. Sometimes they go to an hour, hour and a half. It really depends on the person. But yeah, with storytelling, it's really about kind of, you got to just, I'm trying to pick the right words here.
It's all right. We're thinking out loud. That's the beauty of podcast. Yeah. Of course, you think out loud.
Yeah. I guess you just want to connect with people, right? So it's just, how do you do that? And it's just kind of going through the hardships. Doing or telling them a story that everybody's experienced, whether it's just through watching movies or if they've had similar experiences. That's how you attract people. That's how you build a community around you.
When clients are approaching you, what is it that they're looking to gain out of your storytelling videos? Like, are they trying to drive revenue? Do they just want to build generic brand awareness? Are they trying to connect the dots with something that they want to be known for?
It's funny because, you know, it's usually the smaller brands, you usually want everything, but then the bigger brands, they have a more like keyed in idea of what they want. So like if I work with
ding, ding, ding.
If I work with like some Joe Schmo, you know, mortgage guy, he wants everything, you know, and he wants it all to be in a 60-second video. He wants to get conversions, he wants to get leads, he wants to get all this stuff. And I'm always telling him,
and he wants
like,
it for $500.
Yes, 100%. But then when I do something for like Nike, you know, they already have this huge plan of marketing where they're telling like a story across this whole strategy that they have. So like when I make a video for them, it's more so like, you know, you're just going to take this one small part. We're going to focus on this one athlete and, you know, what their hardship was, you know, in whatever form it was. I've done a lot of running content with them. So that's kind of how it's been for larger brands. So it really does come down to budget at the end of the day, unfortunately. People who don't have a big budget and they don't have a lot of time to work on these things themselves, they're trying to get a lot out of video. But people who do have a huge strategy and a large budget, then their videos are way more dialed in.
I don't know about you guys, when it comes to creating content, I think I call what you just described as a lot of people thinking they're Coca-Cola, right? And they're just like a one-man, you know, real estate agent or something. And then they're sitting there trying to create this corporate video and look all professional and blah, blah, blah. And I get it, right? Like, you want to attract the right type of clientele. But at the same time, they know you ain't fucking Coca-Cola. You know you're not Coca-Cola. So how about you lean into what you have and stop trying to make this complicated, integrated marketing and blah, 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 right? Like, this is something that you want to be able to leverage and introduce people to your brand, you know? And then when people are, you know, waiting for a call, you know, to meet with you in a couple of weeks, you have something that you can send to them that gives them a little bit more behind the scenes of who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. One of the things that I always tell like smaller clients and stuff is like, hey, if you're not making video or posting content on your own already, like don't even waste your money with me, because like one awesome video is not going to, you know, do anything for you. You got to constantly be creating stuff. You got to constantly be putting your story out there, your knowledge out there, and build that following on your own. And it's like super easy. We said it before, like, everybody's got a professional camera in their pocket now. Pull that thing out while you're on a job site or when you're in the office. You know, answer an FAQ. Tell them about your day. What are you doing? Tell them about a process that's part of the work that you do. Tell them anything and do that every day. You know, it doesn't have to be long. It could be 15 seconds. It could be 30 seconds. You know, these days people have a short attention span, so you don't want to be sitting there ranting for, you know, 5 minutes. But every day, if you could put out content out there, more and more people are going to follow, so that when you spend the money on, you know, a bigger brand story or a testimonial or whatever it is, that's going to like really take the people who are already in your following and maybe like solidify them as now, like, they're now going to be a hot lead.
The one thing that I would say, one video that Sean does make that might really help a business is what he's going to do with me, right? So Sean creates these brand stories, right, for clients. He did one for Brett and Alexa, a mutual friend there. He's going to do one with me for Make Cool Shit, right? So that video that Sean's going to work with me on, I'm going to tell my story. And I'm going to leave myself in Sean's hands, and he's going to guide me. And on our website, it's going to be, you know, one of the top two or three content blocks, because people always say, hey, Make Cool Shit, hey, Ironbound, hey, Loud, what do you guys do, right? So that's what this brand story is all about. It's explaining who we are, what we do. And then, you know, it's a video that the clients can also really get behind. But to your point, Sean, if you don't have a social media platform and you're not, you know, creating videos constantly or not putting out content on whatever platform it is, then yeah, one video period isn't going to bring you ROI, right? The video that I'm talking about, living on the website, that provides value, right? Because that provides education, which is key. But if you want to if you want to be the next TikToker, you know, and you don't plan on really posting that often, it's not really going to work out too well for you.
Absolutely. And yeah, just to keep tagging off you, man, like you are posting a lot. You know, you're always posting stories, you're posting the work that you do, seeing slideshows, seeing you at events. So like you've already built a following. So then now people already know to go to your website when they want branding. So now when they see the brand story video on your website, that's what's going to help sell them.
Hold that real quick. So I want to give Sean one more shout out. So I'm also creating some videos for paid marketing for my company, for Make Cool Shit. We have something called an unlimited cool shit subscription, shameless plug, but that's not the point here. I'm too close to my business to figure out what my client's pain point is. Now I know what it is deep down inside, but Sean came in and he pitched Nicole and I a couple dope ideas. But going back to the storytelling, Sean, you missed out one word that I think that you're really great at hitting, and that's emotion, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the core of what great storytellers do. They hit on the emotion. So the ads that Sean's going to make for me, you know, he came up with some creative ideas, but it wasn't about, hey, it's $5,000 a month to do this, or it's $1,000 a month to do that. That's not what the ad's about. It's going to be about the client's pain point and what emotion that they hit in order to then come and buy my product. So that's another real benefit of what Sean and Loud Media can do for you, is that they're coming from with a different perspective. In terms of Red Bull, I talked about emotion earlier, right? If you go on Red Bull's Instagram or some of their social medias, and once again, I got to verify this, but 90% of the time, the product isn't even shown.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't even talk about the energy drink. They hit the emotion of that athlete. Nike does the same thing. I was telling Sean with this on our calls. Nike doesn't talk about how comfortable the Air Jordans are or the technology that goes in it.
they're just hitting you with the emotion where if you put these shoes on, you're going to feel like Michael Jordan.
Right.
So emotion is everything in the storytelling. And Red Bull, you know, they've done the best job also, and we got to fact check this. I also think that I believe Red Bull has the highest marketing budget in terms of percentage of revenue in any company in the world.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. The fact that they can create all this content and not even have their product showing, and yet it drives brand awareness towards Red Bull. You know, that's why I advise my clients about creating podcasts or leveraging other forms of what we call owned media. It's like, what do you want to be known for? You know, who do you want to be associated with? And so if you want people to connect the dots back to you, you need to be out there evangelizing, teaching, nourishing that community. But too many people are sitting on the side of the pool. You know, they're afraid to create content. They think there's this like magic pill. And I think what's interesting that Red Bull does is, right, I think, what is it called? Brand marketing and performance marketing. So like the people that want to measure everything and what is the ROI versus the ones that are like, Sean, hey, I got this great nonprofit, right? We're doing boxing to keep kids off the streets and in the gym, right? How can you help me tell that story and, you know, amplify what we're doing here in Newark? And the trust is that, hey, this is going to get back to us in some way. It might not be right away, but a kid might see that video one day, or a potential donor and stuff, et cetera, as opposed to, you know, the little CMO or, you know, a little small business owner that's out there trying to work out equations on a whiteboard to try to justify the investment.
Absolutely. It all comes back to emotion, like Drew's saying. You know, and with Red Bull, I actually just watched like a video they did. It was a little bit of a longer form content, and it was a dude who was skiing through a school. And it, like, they set up like all the like these like ramps and like snow little paths through like hallways and stuff. And the only time you see Red Bull is he goes into an elevator at one point, and while he's going up the floors, he like pulls out a can of Red Bull, chugs it down real quick, chucks it to the side, and then he goes back to skiing. And like with the content that I've done for like Nike and stuff, like two of the like we've done two pieces on athletes. One was Ava Wilmot, who is a track runner at Rutgers. And it's really just kind of telling her story and her hardships with running. You know, she gets like these insane shin splints that's put her out like half the season. She dealt with Lyme disease, and she just keeps pushing. So like for that specifically, we were just kind of aiming at basically kids her age who are like kind of dealing with the same thing, that like you can push through these things and like still make out well, because she's killing it at Rutgers now. Another guy, Brian Hanlon, you know, she's average runner in high school. I mean, he's older now. I think he's 62, but he's like one of the most world-renowned bronze sculptors. He's got 550 statues in the United States alone. He does Shaquille O'Neal. He's done Obama. I think the Obama statue that's in Vegas he did. He's done like every huge person that you could think of. And really, like, we aren't only showing the products in these videos. Like, you get a couple shots, you know, if you really pay attention, you'll know that they're running in Nike, but it's not really, we're not focusing on the product, we're focusing on the person. And, you know, that's basically the target audience that we're going for. I hope that answered your question.
No, it did. All right, so these big clients like the Nikes and the Under Armors, how do you attract them? You know, what makes them reach out to you? Is this something like you're hunting yourself, or do the inbounds come in?
Actually, those are all kind of through like who you know type things. The Nike thing, to be honest, isn't like a direct Nike marketing. And I'm not trying to downplay this, but like they have their marketing budget is insane. Like they have their main marketing, which is the stuff you'll see on like TV during like, you know, during sports and stuff like that. And then they do like regional marketing essentially. So like I've done like regional marketing through like their New York Econ. And so that's basically, I got connected with them through a store owner in Freehold called Runner's High. Craig from Runner's High, he's got like a lot of great connections. So he's hooked me up with a couple different people over the years. One of our first clients was Diadora, who's like an Italian running brand. Well, yeah. Not just running, they're like, you know, sneaker brand. So we did some like kind of corporate newsletter stuff with them to begin with. And then eventually Nike kind of came my way.
I was going to say,
Sean,
don't
be proud of that, man.
Yeah,
be proud of that.
So, dude, oh no, I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm so stoked about it. Like,
yeah, you are.
Shoot,
you're downplaying it, man. You're working for Nike, bro.
Yeah, you're downplaying it.
Shout out from the rooftops.
Yeah, because if I make a little YouTube video right now on my phone and throw that little Nike logo on there, they're going to sue me. You know, they got a brand to protect, and they don't just let people create content under that brand. So I hear what you're saying about the New York office, but we're giving you your flowers, man. You give you your flowers. You're a big player.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, Mike, you're not. Sorry, Mike and I were talking about this weekend, Sean, and there was a couple of funny stories that happened over the weekend, which we won't get into, but we came to the realization that as business owners and just in general in life, you either got it or you don't. Okay? So point is, you got it, dude. Like Nike doesn't entrust, it doesn't matter what satellite campus, it doesn't even matter, man. They don't entrust their brand with just anybody. So you're crushing it.
I appreciate it, guys.
Speaking of which, we had a film display at a film festival. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a film. It's called This Is Why We Train, subtitle The Seagirt Beach Patrol. And it was cool. When we had our studio out in Wall, New Jersey, we got approached by the chief of lifeguards. They had a drowning on July 4th, 2021. And the surfer who drowned just happened to be wearing a GoPro. So he approached us with the GoPro footage and said, hey, is there anything we can do with this footage? You know, because I would like to be able to show it to my lifeguards in training kind of as like an orientation. Like, hey, like, you know, if you could stomach this, then like you're right for the job. But like, we need you to know that this isn't just some like summer camp. We're not putting you on the stand to get a tan and just hang out with your friends. You know, this is a serious job. So we were kind of like looked at each other and we're like, well, we don't really know exactly what to do with it, like in the aspect that you want. But, you know, we are great storytellers. So can we make a documentary? And we'll use that footage. We'll see if we can track down the police body cam footage as well, which we were able to do. So we stitched together the GoPro footage from the second the guy falls off a surfboard to basically the second the lifeguards arrive, the police arrive. With the police body cam footage, we interviewed all the lifeguards and the bystanders that were involved. So the surfer's name is Paul Bouchard. He was pulled out of the ocean by a woman named Rhonda Fury and her husband, whose name is escaping me right now. So we interviewed them, just kind of like what was going on. The lifeguards hadn't hit the stands yet. This happened at, I think, like 9:25 in the morning. The lifeguards took the stand at 9:30. So that the call came to the radio, and then everybody basically arrived at the same time. So we were able to tell the story from beginning to end. So you see every bit of action from, like I said, from the second he falls off a surfboard to the second they roll his, you know, him into the ambulance. So I'm trying not to give too much away here because, you know, just in case people see go to the festival. But yeah, the festival, the next festival it's playing at is the Garden State Film Festival in Asbury Park. The block is AL7 at the Asbury Lanes on Sunday, March 24th at 12 p.m. So I think there's like 8 or 9 films in the block, but it's only 2 hours long. Our film is 20 minutes long, and I really hope people come out to see it because it's, I'm really proud of it. My position on the film is a director of photography and producer. Then the director is Kevin Nolte, who's also my former business partner. And it came out so good. For the first film that I've like really worked on to be in festivals, I'm really, really proud of this one.
That's dope, man. And did the family have to approve the video? Because I can only imagine that had to be tough kind of seeing that stuff over and over again.
They approved it. We interviewed Paul's wife. So she's actually a part of the film. She just kind of gives us a little bit of background on Paul towards the end. She was at the first screen that we did just for, like, for friends and family. That was probably honestly the hardest part of the whole thing, was kind of seeing her reaction to everything. It wasn't easy, but I think she's really proud of it. And she's happy that, you know, lifeguards get to see this. And it's kind of it's a good warning to people, to first responders, that, you know, your job's not a joke, you know. And to take everything seriously, because you do have lives in your hands.
100%. And I saved the dates here. I'm probably going to try to come out. Maybe me and Simone come out to the film festival, show some support.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll be a little busy that weekend, as you know, Sean. But if there's some way that, you know, when it comes out of the film festivals, if you have a link or something, or when it's playing again somewhere, I would love to come and support, because it sounds pretty cool. I've also never heard of anything like this, so it sounds super original as well. Obviously it's sad and but it's also, you know, from what you're telling me, pretty educational.
Yeah, it's definitely all those things. I can't even say how stoked. I'm just gonna keep using the word stoked, because I'm absolutely stoked about it.
So you got the experience of working with big major brands like Nike, etc. You've got your first film coming out in a film festival. You got that military background. That's dope. So, you know, Drew and I have been talking about this kind of like Avengers model of how do we organize all the different creatives within our personal network for when opportunities arise and et cetera. And so anytime somebody comes to me for video, I'm like, yo, you need to go talk to Sean. Right. And we just met like a month ago, and I already sent you you know, you immediately popped to my mind for this kind of stuff. And so for my listeners out there that are interested in creating some kind of brand stories, I want to encourage you to reach out to Sean and Loud Media. We're not going to use Loud as Fuck yet, but Loud Media.
Loud Media, ladies and gentlemen.
As we close out here, Sean, where can people find you? How can they support what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find me at Loud Visual Media on Instagram. Right now, my website's being worked on, so I don't have one quite yet. But if you go to loudvisualmedia.com, there's a landing page there. You'll see a little bit of a highlight reel of some of the work that I've done. You can fill out a form, schedule a meeting with me. Other than that, LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, Sean Bell, also at Loud Visual Media. That's awesome. Basically it.
I'll be sure to include a link in the show notes. And then the trailer for This Is Why We Train, is there a trailer for that I can link down there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you the link.
Cool. Drew, any final thoughts before I close this out?
Yeah, his website will be built soon.
All right. All right, his website will be built soon.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
For all the listeners tuning in, we really appreciate y'all. I got one ask. Just make sure you subscribe to the Dog Whistle Branding newsletter at the link in the show notes. We'll give Sean a shout out in the newsletter, maybe run his trailer for the film when we promote this episode and some other things. But we appreciate y'all tuning in. Until next time, everyone, peace, love. Have a great rest of your week. Dog Whistle Branding is brought to you by the team at Ironbound Media, where we blend strategy, storytelling, and podcasting to transform your brand into a dog whistle for your perfect customer. We believe that audio is the future of publishing, and we're committed to leading the movement. You can learn more by visiting our website, ironboundmedia.com. This series is powered by Mission Plus, a tech platform that helps nonprofit organizations upgrade their websites and leverage technology to deliver their services online. If your organization cares about its mission, then it needs to be built on Mission Plus. You can learn more by visiting missionplus.com.